Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Well, thank you, Dan. I just want to say that this is probably going to want to be one of my favorite programs of the year, because I know when I interviewed Joanne Arnett, a dear friend and president and co-founder of the Center for Biblical Studies in Tallahassee, last year, it was the most popular interview of the year. And who would think in this torn society that people would just come out the strongest for a topic like unity? And today's topic, mutual support and cooperation in the body of Christ. Well, thank God we at least recognize what we need. Amen. And I will be eternally grateful to her for giving me my start in teaching college-level courses for Christians and to train up ministers and for personal growth or whatever they need. We are here to equip the body of Christ. But she's been doing it over 24 years. And what I mean is, I don't know of another institution in the country of any kind that has as much diversity as this one does, in the sense that she has invited teachers to be on the faculty from all different walks of the Christian faith and has only asked that they share their convictions with passion, with clarity, but give equal time for other points of view. And it has just been such a pleasure to work in an environment where you can be yourself, there's no compromise, there's no lukewarm, and yet have the freedom and give the freedom of others being able to share their views too. But enough said, I'd like to welcome Joanne Arnett, president of the Center for Biblical Studies, to the program. Are you there, Joanne?
I'm here, Carlotta. Thank you so much.
Well, welcome. How are you doing today?
Very well. I'm excited about your program. I can't get over the outreach that you have and that the Lord has just given you such fruitful ministries over the years. And to think of having a worldwide ministry is an amazing thing to me. So may this one bear much fruit as well for you personally and for the kingdom of God, of course.
Amen. Amen. Well, people need hope. They need encouragement. And so many people seem to be out there trying to reinvent the wheel by themselves. You know, they're lone rangers, or maybe they don't want to be, like I've been praying for a partner in what I do for years. And so how do you do it? You know, how do you offer that where people can work together and yet, I mean, they actually do. And it's been such a success. Tell us more about it.
Well, they actually do, and you know the answer. The answer is God, because when he gave me a vision for the center years ago, it was a vision of a three-story building that was filled with light pouring out the windows and huge amounts of light pouring out this extremely wide door. People were coming and going with books in their arms, telling each other how they plan to use what they learned in their places of work and in their homes and so forth. Then God made it very clear that we were to be cross-denominational. And honestly, he has done what I wasn't even sure God could do, and that is to just knit us in such a way in the areas of theology, I mean, in the very areas in which churches divide, he has made us a place of unity, and I'm very thankful.
Amen. Well, when I first heard about the vision, I was like, oh, how can anybody do this? Because unfortunately, the body of Christ is not known for unity and mutual support. So tell us more.
Well, it's a disgrace for the body, not for us to be unified in heart. And, you know, I think so often we think we should be alike, or we have a certain, well, he showed me one time, he began to speak to me about idolatry. And I honestly didn't think I had an idol in my life. And I said, Lord, if I have an idol, you'll have to show it to me. And he did. And it was a combination of the things I admired in various people. For example, I didn't know you then, but if you had been part of my idol, it would have been the way in which you're able to articulate basic truths about inner healing and transformation to people and be instrumental in their lives. So I would have combined that with Barbara's ability and hostessing and someone else's ability to speak and someone else's ability to win people to Christ. And I had made a composite idol of the people I admired most within the body of Christ. And I think sometimes we make an idol of our denomination, or we look down on them because they don't fit us and we don't know what to do about it. And instead, God has created no two snowflakes alike. He certainly hasn't created any two of us alike. And our thinking processes are different. And he invites us into his kingdom, which is amazing. So when we began, he was clear that it was to be cross-denominational. We asked him which ones to include because we didn't think certain groups would work with other groups. And he began speaking to us about Psalm 119. Well, Psalm 119 has more verses than any other chapter in the Bible. And it keeps saying over and over, teach the word, teach the word, teach the word. Well, we knew that. And, of course, if you ever tried to explain anything to the Lord, he knew that we weren't getting his message. When we began making our database, we used the telephone directory, and we omitted the obvious cult groups, and we included every other group that named the name of Jesus Christ. And when we had listed them, we had the same number of congregations in Tallahassee that there were in verses in Psalm 119. And we realized the Lord was saying to do this. Well, we didn't want to water things down. We didn't want – I've been in groups that were so nice to each other. They so out-niced each other. They were all trying to be what they thought the other one wanted them to be. Or they were angry at each other. And we didn't want all this watering it down to what everybody agrees on. And so we asked the Lord how to deal with this. And another friend suggested that we ask them to, we wanted people who were very definitely on fire for the Lord Jesus to be teaching. Because teaching is not just a head knowledge thing. The thing that is in your spirit transfers to the person as well. So we wanted people who love the scripture, love the Lord, and were trying to follow the Holy Spirit. And so we asked them, when they came to a point of honest difference among major Christian groups, that they would say, this is my interpretation of that scripture, this is why, and give equal time and equal tone of voice to other major interpretations, and then go on, leave it to the Lord. It's worked all these years, and I consider it a miracle of God.
Really?
Yes.
I always said in Acts 1, where the believers met together in one accord, that was the biggest miracle of all.
It was. And, you know, think about it. They all had the same message, but they spoke it in different languages. People heard it in different languages. However you want to interpret that scripture, it was very different. They went to different places. And after they were in one accord, they went out. And they went out into all the world and related the message in different ways. So they were quite different from each other, personality-wise and everything else, but they had the same message. And I think that's the key. We have the same Lord. And I don't think we'll ever get everything straight until we're in heaven. So it takes a bit of humility to have unity.
It does. Oh, my. What's the fruit that you've been seeing?
And to serve each other. there is such a spirit of division and competition sometimes within the body of Christ, which I think is born out of fear more than enmity. And, you know, we know that somehow the spirits of the enemy are defeated by coming in the opposite spirit, in the spirit of Jesus. And so that would lead right into helping support each other, support the other ministries, serve them. I mean, if you're called, we can't all serve everybody, but we can look outside ourselves and be serving somebody in some group that is not in our own ministry and be mutually supportive. I think that's your topic.
Right. I think that some people might just need to hear a definition of what is that, because we just haven't been seeing it. We've seen one-man shows. We've seen competition. You know, we've seen a lot of you're not us, so you're bad kind of attitudes. But what is mutual support in the body of Christ?
Well, I can give you an example, because we can only do our part. We can't guarantee mutual support any more than you can in a marriage, but we're responsible for our part, for helping support the other. We hope we get it back. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But I'm thinking, for example, there are other nonprofit ministries in town, and I try hard when I can to go to some of their banquets or to give or to volunteer for one thing. Now, I can't do that for everything. One of the local ministries was born out of the center. We had classes like the one you're teaching on transformation of the inner man. And within a series of those classes, a group of lay people and counselors and psychologists got to know each other. And they believed we should have a counseling ministry opportunity in Tallahassee and urged us to do it. But God had only called us to education and training. And I didn't want to step outside the area he had called me to. So we provided a place for them to meet, encouraged them when they got together, and they have invited, and we have offered classes together once in a while, and they've invited me next Friday to come and help speak about mutual support and the fact that we are trying to mutually support each other. It isn't easy, but I think it's necessary. Requires a little humility and a servant's heart. And it's not guaranteed. I mean, Jesus served, and look what happened to him. And he also rose from the dead.
Maybe we could rewrite our amplified 1 Corinthians 13:1 here, that if you don't have the love, then how wonderful it is it that your church is serving, or the other one's most prophetic, or yours is the most biblically correct or whatever, if there's no love.
Oh, yes. And, you know, we want to be more loving than we naturally are. But I remember a small congregation once put an ad in the phone book, and they said, if you have a need, call us. And then they tried to help meet them. And apparently it turned out well, and they grew. But I don't know that I'm up for that yet, but certainly in the area of education and training, if someone has a need, we will help meet it. So within what we are able to do, we'll do that. And that includes congregations, you know, can call and say, we really need more people. We need a stronger intercessory team. Will you offer a class or a seminar on intercession? Will you help us? And so we'll be happy to do that. Or our praise and worship team is having a difficulty getting it together. You know, how about offering something for them? Now, we don't go into their congregations, because we just can't do that for all the congregations in town. But we will work with them to offer what they need. And the same thing has to do with serving students. If we have a student who doesn't know what their call is, we help them find it. If they know that they're going to be in a pulpit ministry, we will help them meet the requirements of their particular denomination. If they know they're going to be teaching Sunday school or have a leadership role, you know, we'll help them take the kinds of classes for credit or for non-credit, to just sit in on the class you know, that will help them do a better job of what they're doing, to equip them, in other words, for what they're called to do. And I think that that really has to do with mutual support, supporting each other individually in the areas where we can. You do that, you really are supporting people who want to be free. They want to be emotionally free. And you support them no matter what their denomination or their background.
Right, right, right. You know, I was just sitting here thinking, how can we communicate, Lord, encouragement or hope or exhortation or whatever to people that have a big vision and hope to see it fulfilled in 2014? And they're really, really hoping that what they've been sowing, you know, that they do reap and everything. And yet maybe they don't see the need to do something different this year. I had posted on Facebook, you know, how crazy it is to keep doing the same things and expect better results. But what can we say that will encourage people to know that if God intends to promote you or to expand your sphere of influence or help you fulfill your vision this year, that he may also have some training, you know, to prepare you?
Well, that's so right. And there are two parts of that that I hear. One of them I experienced today at noon. We have a small group of pastors who meet here every Tuesday to pray, and we pray for all the churches within the city. But I see that many of them go through times of discouragement. And I have, too, when I have just needed a small group that I could go to and say, pray for us. You know, registration isn't what we thought it would be, or we're really looking for direction, and we are doing the same thing over and over, and we know the Lord has other ideas. Will you pray that it will, I mean, a small group where you can go and just really share what's bothering you. And that group has been an encouragement to me, and I know the Lord has used me to help encourage them as well. But then the training. I've had to get some training. I've read a lot of books in the areas where I was deficient because I knew a lot about education. But when God called me to this ministry, I didn't know. In fact, it took me years to figure out that a ministry is also a business. And I didn't know anything about business. I didn't know anything about marketing. So I read a lot of books and talked to people who were in business and asked for help. And I think we do need training. And sometimes it's formal training. Get a degree. Some doors don't open unless you have a college degree. Some need a certificate. Some just need the kind of training, you know, from a mentor. Or just a good friend who will speak the truth to you in love. I find that extremely helpful. And you're one of those people, Carlotta. You will tell me the truth, and you'll do it in a loving way. I think that's all too rare in the body of Christ.
Well, I'm pretty direct.
I love that. Because sometimes instead of being loving, we're just nice. You know, we're nice. We're so nice, we'll just affirm somebody right off a cliff. I mean, you know, while they're messing up and don't know it, because we can't see ourselves. I mean, you can see things about me that I can't see, positive and negative. So you're being directed to help to me. And I consider that mutual support, because I would do the same for you.
I think a sign of maturity is being aware of how you're definitely a work in progress. You know, anybody that thinks that they've already arrived probably has to go back and start over. But Jesus demonstrated so clearly the making disciples or the mentoring or the importance of teaching and training. And his wasn't a three-day course or a three-month course. It was a three-year course. And he was perfect. And I thought, what can we say to help motivate people to know that Jesus is the same today? He's not trying to throw you out there unprepared. Neither is he saying crank it out in your own strength. You know, yes, he will do it through us. But still, even when it was Jesus himself, the perfect one, there was still teaching and training that was needed. And I wonder if some people that are listening are thinking, well, I really don't care anything about having a degree. And I have to admit, when I first went for my bachelor's, in theology after having been a nurse 25 years. I really didn't care that much about it either, but it was ignorance on my part because I didn't realize how much I needed to learn and how much training I needed in order to be able to do ministry. I couldn't just, you know, imagine 3 points and kind of, I guess I shouldn't say shoot the bull, but that's kind of was how I pictured it, you know, and I didn't realize that how much I didn't know about the Word and about Christ himself and about how the Holy Spirit leads me and everything. And so I just want to encourage people to take a second look at the teaching and training that is offered.
Thank you. I do, too. And actually, I have never stopped, I mean, for years. I stopped with the Great Commission, go ye into all the world. You know, we hear that part, go into all the world. But the second part of that is teaching them. Teaching them. Teaching is a major thing. He didn't just say go. He said to teach. And a lot of that word has to do with training. And I think sometimes we spiritualize things so much that we don't think we need to learn. But someone asked me one time and said, what is the most important gift of the Spirit? And I thought, well, I don't know. Oh, what's the most important gift? They said, well, it's the one you need at the time. You know, if your pipes have broken, you don't need somebody to stand there and pray. You need a plumber who knows what he's doing. You know, if you're hurt, you need counseling. You need a help. You need a friend. If you need to forgive yourself or someone else, sometimes you need someone to walk through it. If you don't know Scripture, I mean, Scripture is foundational to every other kind of training, every other thing we learn. I mean, there is no book like the Bible. There's no book that has changed more lives than any other like Scripture. And yet we're pretty much scripturally illiterate, as though God is going to speak to us individually without, you know, without reference. I mean, if we don't know Scripture, how can we judge what we're hearing? Or we'll just get a little piece of it. We'll just get the part that our own pastor teaches, or our own denomination teaches, or our own fear says, or our own hopes say. But if we stay in the Word and have some teaching to understand what it means, that will make a difference no matter what he's called us to do. So I'm with you. You can tell I'm a little passionate about that. Because I tried to learn Scripture on my own. And frankly, I was in, at the time, in a Sunday school that was boring. It didn't help me. And when I tried to read the Bible, I didn't get it. I mean, I got some of the obvious parts. But when I sat under a teacher who understood what it meant and began to open it, my goodness, that book is more up to date than the morning newspaper. And I can't wait in the morning to read and, you know, to learn more. And I keep seeing more and more in there. In fact, I'm in the book of Acts right now, so you were talking right up my alley.
Well, I wonder if I'm hearing the opinions that represent the majority, maybe not. But I'm always hearing people saying, I'm not getting what I need. I'm not being fed enough, or there's not enough meat to it, or I'm not really growing where I am. And
I knew that.
We've never had any intention, either one of our ministries have no intention of replacing the local church. But God never said you had to get it all from one person either. I think that's a sign of codependence or something, to think that you can get everything you need from one person. And I just want to encourage people to believe that God, if he creates a hunger and a thirst in you to know him better, to know his word, to know how to minister whatever you're called to do better, whether you're in business like most people are, or whether you actually have a, you know, full-time, I hate to even use that phrase, it's such a misnomer, full-time ministry, but they know what I mean. I want to encourage people to believe that if you're not being fed, that there is a way that you can connect with, like Joanne said, real teachers or fivefold ministers in general, a variety of them. You don't have to try to get it all from one person. And that there is an extra power and anointing, for instance, on a fivefold minister like pastor, teacher, evangelist, you know, prophet.
Right.
There is an extra anointing, an extra power there. There's an impartation that you can have to endue you with power to be whatever you're called to be. And don't despair thinking it doesn't exist. Ask God to show you where it is.
Yes. And it may be an individual. It may be a class. When I first realized that the Holy Spirit was real, I went from congregation to congregation looking for a teacher for the answers to some of my questions. And what I found was that I visited, I believe in being faithful to somewhere. Pick a place, pick a group that where you believe God's called you and be faithful there. But I went on Wednesdays and Sunday nights to other Bible studies and other places where there were anointed teachers. Sometimes we demand of our pastors what they are not called to give. Some are excellent administrators, excellent preachers, excellent evangelists, but all are not excellent teachers. Most are excellent preachers. But when you find, and what happened was when I would find one, then they wanted me to join that congregation. And I believed I needed to be with my husband and with my family, you know, on Sunday morning. But I was like, you can supplement what you're learning in other, through other ministries, through a place like the Center for Biblical Studies, through your ministry of Crosswalk, through finding just a Bible study somewhere else. Or sometimes what we need to do is learn to be better. We know the scripture and need to study to know how to be a better business person or a more effective government employee or whatever we're doing. I mean, we're focusing here on scripture, but I think we need to continually be in training for whatever we're called to be.
Amen.
So,
well, the center does have different tracks. You know, you can get the healing you need. You can get teaching. You can get training. You can get expertise in a lot of areas, actually, and come out really with not only something to offer the body of Christ, but fresh bread and living water, you know, spirit powered, amen?
Woo. Yes, which just comes out. You know people that are fresh every time. You know that they're in community with the Lord, and you know that they are reading their scripture, and you know there's something different about them, and they don't really have to advertise it. But I prayed for teachers. And, of course, here we went to the pastors of various denominations and asked for the names of the most outstanding teachers in their denomination and then asked them to teach. And, you know, there are some fabulous teachers out there, and some are pastors, but many are not. Because often a church doesn't, unless it's huge, doesn't necessarily call an outstanding teacher. But you can find them. They're there. I believe God supplies whatever he's called us to. And I know I was hungry for more, and I became even hungrier when I had a good taste of the real thing. It's
That's
kind
it.
Of like you're hungry and you'll settle for anything and you're glad to have it. And then you realize, ooh, there's steak. You know, I could be feasting on something that's rich and wonderful and helpful to others and helpful to me and make sense of the world. Really, only a biblical view makes sense of the world. The other world views,
calling the listeners to even make drastic changes in their life and their budget or relocate. I know I had been a nurse for 25 years and had finally worked up to a daytime job with weekends off. And it was a big step. It was a big step to believe that and get an education.
I talked with someone who said that their middle year, they were in seminary for 3 years, I mean, ours, most people come and take one course at a time, so it takes a long time if they want a degree, but they can take as little or much as they want. But this particular person was in a 3-year seminary, and he said toward the middle of the second year, he thought, oh, I need to leave this. I could be out doing something. I could win people to Christ. I could be teaching. I could be doing this. I could be doing that. And one of his teachers talked him into staying. Well, he stayed through the 3 years, and after he got out, he said, he was talking to someone else. He said, I'm so glad I stayed with my studies. Those years became a deep well from which I have drawn all the rest of my life. And that's what a good education will do. It will be a deep well from which you can draw continually. And, of course, our real well is the living water in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. I want to say, too, that the Holy Spirit tutors us full-time. And you can kind of like demand that he only do that with you at home. And not give up anything and not go to school in some way, whether, like you said, it's one course at a time or going for a whole degree. But what I found out when I went off to school, I had to sell my house, I had to leave my profession, I had to relocate and get a new home set up in the summertime and everything. But when school started, I found out something. I found out the Holy Spirit was tutoring me in between the classes just as much. But there was something about letting him pour into me from these professors and teachers and trainers and mentors. Then the Holy Spirit had more to work with in between classes.
Yes. Right. I think it was Pearl Buck who grew up in China, and she said her parents made her memorize scripture. But she didn't know how much it meant to her until later when she discovered all this was real, and then she had all that to draw on. Carlotta, are you there?
I am.
Okay, good. And
I am.
And so we need a lot to draw on, whether that's a formal or some other kind of education. We don't leave the teaching part out of the Great Commission. We are to be taught. And we are to teach. And each of us, I think, to turn around when we apply what we're learning, then we feed others. But you have to have bread to feed somebody with, and fresh bread is much tastier.
Right. Another thing that I got from a residential or on-location school like you have was that sometimes the students were able to go out for a bite to eat together. And I have always said that I learned as much from hearing their experiences as I did in class. Now, I don't mean to minimize what I learned in class.
Oh, it's true.
Student brought a rich background of experience and shared it.
Right. We need to share with each other, and then particularly if we're being ourselves. I love that scripture that Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I used to dislike it until I realized what it meant, that we're working outwardly, what God has put in there and also what we put in there. So if you are distinctly who you are, and I'm coming to know more distinctly who I am, and then we meet, we have something to offer each other. And just back to the mutual support, you want to mutually support someone by being who you are and offering what you have to offer. The other person may have a different emphasis, a different way of seeing the scripture, a different way of thinking of things, and iron does sharpen iron.
Amen. Amen. And there is nothing like having to work with other people, whether it's in class, whether you're the teacher or the student, or the family that's supporting the student. But I've just found that you all ask God, why is it that the majority of people that leave missions or ministry leave because they can't get along with the other ministers?
That's
and
right.
I think part of what God does in this teaching and training in the classroom and outside the classroom is he works on our rough edges where where we do have difficulty getting along with people that are a little bit different from us, and we can get to the place where we can understand the importance of cooperation, and we can get to the place where we count ourselves fortunate if we even agree with another Christian 70%, you know, hallelujah, instead of picking at the 30% where we might vary.
If our focus is on the Lord and if our basis is Scripture, then we need to be subject to, if the Lord says, you know, you're not interpreting that quite correctly. I really think it does take some humility to walk together and to really recognize the gifts that others have and the gifts that other ministries have. I mean, it's my image of the body of Christ is a lot of people who are faithful to a denomination that tends to focus more on certain scriptures and often skip others. And I just see them like the facets of a diamond. You know, sometimes they've divided over things, and one will emphasize one thing more than another. And I used to tease that you should be able to just shift around, you know, spend a year or two in each group. But, and I'm not suggesting that. I think we need to go be faithful somewhere, but like we are to our own families. But we have a lot to learn from each other, a lot to learn.
Really, really do. Now, I usually don't mention denominational names on the program or in ministry, but I want to say this in a positive way, so that's how I mean it. Before I had come to Tallahassee, Florida, where I started attending at the Center for Biblical Studies, I had never personally known Episcopalians. And the Episcopalians are just like part of the backbone of the Center for Biblical Studies and have gotten their education and are, you know, so true to the word. I was just absolutely amazed because our denomination prided itself. We thought we believed the word was more literally true than anybody else. And when I got to school at the Center for Biblical Studies, I found out that some of the people that I had never even bothered to know knew a lot more about the word than me. It was surprising.
It's a little embarrassing, isn't it? The same is true, you know, with the Spirit. Some groups think they're the only ones who understand about the Holy Spirit. And actually here you took a class from somebody, from that background. But we have had literally Roman Catholics and Baptists and Charismatics, non-denominational, teaching and getting along well together. And I think sometimes we have more in common with the people who are searching for the truth mm-hmm. than with people that are searching for the truth in other denominations and who are trying to follow Jesus. More in common with them than we do sometimes with the whole of our own congregation or denomination, if that makes sense. And I find that's true when students come here. There are people who love the Lord, want to follow him, want to do their part in the body, which is one of my major prayers. Oh, God, help us each to be doing what you want us to do and not be trying to do somebody else's job or just criticizing them. And help us to fit together. So
our focus is on Jesus rather than comparing ourselves with each other. It's been so
right.
refreshing because I hear people complain and murmur and, you know, and they say, oh, you know, in heaven there's not going to be denominations and all these dividing walls. And I said, well, if you're really all for that, come to the Center for Biblical Studies. You're really all for that, try it out. It really does work.
And we don't put them down. We don't put them down any more than we put different families down. You know, there are different families and different groups of believers. It's just that above all that, it's the kingdom of God. And our focus on that seek ye first the kingdom of God, you know, and all else will be added. Well, one thing that is added is cooperation among people to further his work and to give him the glory. And, everything short of that is limited, certainly including our own knowledge of everything.
Well, if you could just open the little skull cap, the brain of all the believers on the planet, or everybody for that matter, but and drop something in there that would enable us to operate together as one body, what would you drop in?
I would drop in the belief that every follower of Jesus Christ is in full-time ministry and that each of us has an important part to play, whether it seems important to us or not, and that as we follow the Lord and as we do the part we have, and as we are in relationship with each other, the kingdom of God, which is at hand, is more clearly seen on earth and will glorify him and be fulfilling to those of us who are walking together.
Amen. Amen. And I would just drop in a passion that they would have a passion to do the stuff, because some people are more performance-oriented and they're too concerned about work and they define themselves by what they do. But then there's another part of the body of Christ that's gotten to the place where they say, well, Jesus has done everything. We don't need to do anything. And they've kind of swung the other way. And maybe underneath that there's some despair that maybe I never will have a supernatural power in my life, so I'll just do the best I can and make it till I make it. But I believe that another fruit of working with other people and people that are different and people that allow the power of God to flow through them in all different ways is we are so inspired as we receive a new impartation, you know, like every few days from a different person.
Right.
We're so inspired to see how Jesus wants to live through each of our unique personalities.
And, you know, if we would be involved, I think I told you I'm reading in Acts right now about Dorcas and Peter, you know, praying for her to come back to life. What did she do? She made garments. Well, all of us are not seamstresses. We don't all need to be. Peter was out preaching and praying. He was the one that God used to raise him from the dead. You know, Simon was the tanner. I mean, if we are involved in our society as well with what we're doing, you know, we learn our part and then apply it where we're called, whether it's in business or government or within the congregation, in our families. It all knits together. We don't all have to do everything, but I thought, you know, if all the people who, if each believer would just pick up something, one piece, and be faithful to it, I believe what this world would transform overnight.
Amen. And I don't think cooperation, I don't think I'm trying to say that everybody does the same thing the same way. What we're really missing today in the body of Christ and why we see such a lack of communication and, well, more than that, between us and our leaders and all of that is because Christians can get so isolated just doing whatever they consider to be spiritual religious that they're not taking the seven mountains. They're not taking Christ in you to business or the media or the arts or into schools or into government. And so then we sit back and we criticize and we say, well, they're not representing our concerns in business or our concerns in government and all, but we are the ones that are called to take Christ into those arenas. It's us, you know, to see him in us and see the values at work.
And if we're too into our own little world, then we get too discouraged because our view is so limited. We can get discouraged and depressed. And or we become prideful because we're right and they're not. And God resists the proud, and he certainly resists it within the congregation too. I mean, just because we're Christians doesn't eliminate that truth that he does. And the humility to walk together is so essential, and it's so wonderful. I mean, it's such a gift to meet somebody who's not like me.
Well, some people may feel like, well, I'm in such a mess, you know, I'm in such bad shape, there's no way that I can go to school. I know when I first went off to ministry training school, I fasted on a juice fast for 23 days because I just thought I would be the least of the least of the least there. And I was like embarrassed that I've really got to shape up. And somehow I don't know how to you know, clean yourself up before you get to Jesus kind of thing. But I want to encourage people to believe that when Jesus said make disciples, when Elijah and Elisha, you know, were had schools of the prophets, or when different people were being mentored, that God is building the person. He's renewing our hearts, restoring our souls. You know, he's just really transforming us inside and out. It's not that you have to go and pretend you're perfect, because none of us are. We're all in progress. But I want to just impart to all the listeners today that God has a plan to transform you. And if you will make yourself available and you'll be faithful and teachable, he will connect you with people that transform you. And I just want to encourage you, if all you've known is leadership that's only concerned about building their own empire and you feel used, or you feel left on a pew to rot, you know, that you haven't been used, whatever, that there are and go for training and teaching and ministry where they will catch the vision, God's vision, for what he wants to do in your life, and they'll consider it an honor and a privilege to invest in you and your calling and vision.
Oh, yes. And I was listening last night to someone who was talking about the messes we've made in our lives, including our messes serving God, where we've just totally missed it or gone off on a tangent or something. He said, God will make our messes into messages for him.
Oh,
I love that.
Amen. Well, what would you like to pray for our listeners today, Joanne? Is there anything specific that you'd like to pray for them, impart to them today?
I think I'd almost have to start praying before I'd know.
Okay, well, I want to tell the listeners, too, we didn't practice these questions. So it is just fresh from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show us what to pray.
Well, Father, I just thank you for each person who's listening. And I thank you for Carlotta, and I thank you for her yieldedness to you. Lord, I do believe that each follower of Jesus is in full-time ministry. And, Lord, I lift you what Corrie ten Boom said, look inside and be depressed. Look around and be distressed. Look at Jesus and be at rest. Lord, we want to be at rest and to be joyful and to be trusting of you. I pray that we would listen to the whole of the Great Commission, which does include teaching and learning, that you would disciple us all the days of our lives, that you will lead us from one place we are to the next, that we would glorify you, that you would transform our messes, that you would provide, Father, the counselors and the teachers and the friends who will speak truth and love, that you will provide atmosphere for each person who is listening. And I pray, O Father, for the humility within the body of Christ to be servants, not only to other Christians, but to those who don't know you. And we ask, Father, I ask for my radio friends what I ask for myself, and that is to have confidence in you without pride and to have humility without insecurity, that we may follow you regardless of the way things look, and to believe that you will use us and that you love us and that your word is true. And I pray, O God, for the grace to have unity of heart and spirit within the body of Christ, even as you use our differences to glorify your name. And I thank you, Lord, that you are not the God of robots. You are the God of men to whom you've given choices, and the people who are continually changing. Even our bodies are continually changing. Certainly our spirits are changing. And I thank you that you live within us and around us, that we are seated with you at the right hand of God, and that you never give up. I thank you for your lavish love for the prodigal and the elder brother and all of us somehow in between those. We just say that we love you and commit ourselves to you to do for us and to do for your kingdom what we can't do for ourselves.
Amen.
And I ask that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us today. And, Lord, I just ask you, on behalf of the Center for Biblical Studies and every church and institution that's trying to do the same thing, and on the behalf of Joanne Arnett, I just ask you to bring in the laborers. You said we don't need to pray for the harvest, we need to pray for the laborers. I just ask you to bring in the laborers who will do the things that they are able to do and that will enable these houses that are your houses, that are training centers, that are places where people can really be mentored or become true disciples and, you know, be able to fulfill their own vision. Enable these places to expand, and that Joanne Arnett will to expand her own sphere of influence and step into the fullness that you have for her. Because there's more to it. As wonderful as this is that we've described today, there needs to be a multiplication of it, which will take more hands to make lighter work. But there's also to the vision. And we just choose to receive that, God. We choose to receive the connections for her, those that will believe in her, and the areas that she's called to walk into. And we just thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that you will do it supernaturally, that you will, you'll be the one that brings it about. And you said if we'll wait on you, that you'll endue us with power from on high to be who you want us to be, and we choose to receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm sure to do it.
Have a great night. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlotta. God bless you. Are you still there? I'll put on off.